We're standing on the threshold of a very powerful window in time, and it's crucial that we possess an understanding of how to conduct ourselves in order to take advantage of this auspicious moment. Rosh Hashanah is just a few weeks away. We began blowing the shofar every morning. We begin Slichot very soon. FDR once said, "There is no greater moment than the present." And where are we in this present moment? We find ourselves in the month of Elul. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon of the 18th century, writes that the four-letter Hebrew word Elul, the final month of the Jewish calendar preceding Rosh Hashanah, is an acronym. Elul is the Hebrew letters Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed, which stands for Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Notice the order of that sentence. Initially, I am to my beloved, and only subsequently is my beloved to me. The Jewish nation must first take that step forward toward its creator, and only then will HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocate with his beneficence and goodwill. This is the message of Elul. Between Rosh Hashanah, Shofar, Slichot, Yom Kippur, we must have the constant reminder of Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. I am to my beloved, and then my beloved is to me. Take a step toward God, become more godlike, emulate God's qualities of giving, of mercy, and of compassion, and then Hashem will shower us in return with blessings and good fortune. Perhaps the only thing greater than a Jew in Elul is a Jew who lives Elul. As there are two types of people in this world, there are those who life happens to them and those who life happens through them. This is thoroughly illustrated in Perek Lamed Tet, chapter 39 of Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis. The famous anecdote of Yosef's ability to interpret dreams. The famous story goes that Yosef is lying in his jail cell when he notices a despondent-looking man in his prison. And he responds in Perek Lamed Tet, Pasuk Zayin, Vayishal et Srisei Paro Asheri Tov Yishma Beit Adonav Lemor. And Yosef says, Madua Pneichem Ra'im Hayom. Why does your face look downcast today? Perhaps one of the first notifications of depression in the Torah. Yosef notices that somebody looks depressed, and he takes that first step forward by saying, "Are you okay?" Yosef does the Ani L'dodi. He says, "I am to you." And what happens next? V'dodi li. God gives Yosef that divine inspiration to interpret dreams. The butler and the baker tell Yosef very similar dreams. Two dreams that seem completely identical, but the difference is life and death. Blessing and curse. How does Yosef interpret two similar dreams in diametrically opposing ways? One of the butler and one of the baker. So the Dubna Magid, Rabbi Yehuda Kranz of the 18th century Lithuania, he says the answer through a parable. He says there are two men admiring a beautiful painting of an elderly man holding a wicker basket of bread over his head. One friend says, "The painting is so lifelike. I can see the wrinkles on the old man's forehead, the cleft on his chin, the shimmer on his lips." Thereupon, a few birds attempted to land on top of the man in the portrait and began pecking at the bread from the basket on his head. "You see," says the man to his friend, "it's so authentic looking. Even the birds think the bread is real. The painting is perfect." "No," says the friend, "this painting possesses a huge flaw, front and center. There is an inherent contradiction within the portrait itself. You see, when you feed a bird, it will straggle close to you. Never will the birds land on your shoulder or your arm and peck at the food while perched on your physical body. The fact that the birds are attempting to land on the painting and eat the bread shows that this man is not alive at all. Rather, he's a dead man, and the drawing is anything but lifelike." So too did Yosef interpret the baker's dream. Since birds were drawn to the baker who were eating bread from the wicker basket perched atop his head and eating the bread directly from him, the baker was a dead man. For that is not how birds eat food from men. Alternatively, we can take it a step further. What was the inherent difference between the butler's dream and the baker's description of the dreams? The butler took the grapes. He squeezed each tendril into the goblet of Paro. He was active. He took initiative. Everything was done through him. On the contrary, the baker just stood there. The birds grabbed food from his inactive body. He was completely passive. Everything was done to him. The month of Elul abhors passivity. And this is why in this final Hebrew month, before Rosh Hashanah, we have been blowing the shofar. The Talmud in Tractate Megillah writes that a ram's horn in particular is used due to its symbolism of our contrite state during the days of awe. Have you ever noticed a shofar that is completely straight, a 180-degree angle? Of course not. The shofar is bent, some with multiple twists and turns to parallel our past year. We have had many unexpected twists and turns, ups and downs through our lives this past year. Nevertheless, we have persevered and are working to the point of thriving. We blow the shofar to remind ourselves that despite the vicissitudes of the past 11 months, we must remain active. We must remain co-creators in all we do. We must have life live through us and not happen to us. The Pasuk writes in Parshat Ki Tavo, this week's Torah portion, V'haya im shamoa tishma, and if you will listen to God's decrees. Why does the Torah, known for its terseness, use the word to listen twice? Im shamoa tishma. It should just say V'haya im shamoa. Why does it say V'haya im shamoa tishma, and if you will listen, listen? The Midrash Tanhuma answers that the verse is referring to closeness with our Creator. The way to achieve this intimacy is by listening a little bit, shamoa, the first listen, taking upon ourselves certain ways of life that may be different than we are accustomed to. And by taking these baby steps, we can work our way up to observing more and more, tishma, the second listen, and becoming closer to God in our very special and unique way. The famous phrase, mitzvah goreret mitzvah, one good deed causes another good deed, rings true with this very adage. There's a story of Charles Barkley, the famous basketball player from the 1990s. And Charles was known as a great source of entertainment. He was a professional basketball player. He played in the NBA. And although he was a star in his prime, he'd put up 20, 30 points a game some nights, perhaps he was better known for his mid-game antics and post-game profanity during interviews. And one night, as fate would have it, Barkley had a dud of a game. 2 points, 0 rebounds, 11 turnovers. The guy was a walking hazard on the basketball court. And after the game, one reporter rushed over to him with a grin, knowing Barkley was so upset, he probably would mouth off some obscenity on public television, promulgating her TV network ratings. And she says to him, with a grin on her face, "Tough night, Charles. What do you have to say about your performance?" And instead of exploding into a tirade on national television, Barkley looks right into the camera and says, "You know, I've learned something tonight. In basketball and in life, you will have your good nights and you will have your bad nights. But you're not as good as your good nights and you're not as bad as your bad nights. Instead, you're somewhere in between." And he drops the mic and walks off the court. And while this may seem like a profound and deep thought, it really is the antithesis of what our Judaism represents. My Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael in Israel told me, "No, the fact that you have had those good nights on the court multiple times, the fact that Charles Barkley put up 20, 30 points a game on a consistent basis, meant that he truly is capable of greatness on a nightly basis. He's not somewhere in the middle. He can have those good nights on the court every night. He just had to be willing to work for it. Certainly, nobody is perfect. But if you work hard to perfect your game, to take those baby steps, you'll never be somewhere in the middle. Rather, you'll always be among the elite. One good deed does lead to another good deed. Mitzvah goreret mitzvah. If only v'hayayim shamoa tishma. If only we listen to God by taking that first step forward, working our way up. Here at Salman HaVir Shabbat Shemaim, may it be God's will that we truly do hear the call of the shofar to awaken from our proverbial slumber and to take that first step forward to Hashem, ani ledodi vedodi li, to live a life the way that our families, our ancestors, and that God would want us to live, where life happens through us, not to us. May we follow this mold and use it as a springboard to adequately prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, for Slichot, for the Shofar, for Yom Kippur, and God willing, for the rest of the year. Shabbat Shalom.